Brothers and sisters, won't you step beneath the smoldering sun and feel the heat of sifting sands as we step into a passage of scripture found in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 38th verse. There we have the following left for our edification. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" These are the words of God for you and I, the sons and daughters of God, and for that we ought to give God praise. My brothers and sisters, for just a few moments, we gather here under this text, and I want to lift up a title for us, Dealing with an Irrational Jesus. Dealing with an Irrational Jesus. As I enter the sanctuary this morning, I find myself feeling a sense of deja vu. For it was just a little bit over a year and a half ago that I, along with our congregation, also ceased our in-person worship when this virus first gripped our country. And now, here in the beginning of 2022, it feels as though we have arrived back at an unfortunate but familiar place. In this moment, we are surrounded by uncertainty. It permeates our institutions and our communities, and not simply as a result of the virus, but even in every aspect and institution we touch, there is a growing and uncomfortable sense of uncertainty. Just this past week, we witnessed the one-year anniversary of the insurrection that occurred at the Capitol. And regardless of where you may fall on the political spectrum, all of us likely can agree that event and many others signals the just uncertainty in which we are gripped, and that for the foreseeable future, it looks as those things will remain somewhat uncertain. It is in moments like this that you and I, the sons and daughters of God, find peace during these uncertain times in the power of our faith. We find safety in uncertain times, and it is a hallmark of the Christian tradition that rests in the realization that you and I have a hope that's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, that we dare not trust the sweetest frame, but we wholly lean on Jesus' name. And in moments of uncertainty allows us to declare with great confidence that on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That our faith is to give us stability in uncertain times. And that no matter how much or how greatly the world around us shakes and shivers in the presence of uncertainty, you and I know that we can always have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our troubles, and he will provide for us the calm and comfort that our distressed and distraught hearts desire, that God will calm and comfort, that God will guide our steps, and that God's commands are sure. Which makes the text before us all the more puzzling, because it offers us a moment where the words and commands of Jesus does not lessen the apprehension and anxiety of Jesus' followers. But rather, Jesus' command in this text adds to the confusion and, quite frankly, consternation that's already present in this tragic moment. As you review the events of the 11th chapter of John, we see that those who love and follow Jesus are absolutely puzzled by Jesus' bizarre and questionable actions and request. And in this particular portion of the text that you and I are focused on this morning, we stand alongside Lazarus' sisters as they bear the burden of the tragic loss of their brothers, and we are puzzled and confused by Jesus. The text tells us in this weighty moment, Jesus enters in and he offers what appears at first glance to be a deceptively simple command: take away the stone. This immediately confounds Martha, causing her to respond, "Listen, Lord, my brother has been dead 4 days." What Jesus says in this weighty moment when Martha's heart is seeking certitude and comfort, words that issue forth from Jesus cause even greater uncertainty and quite frankly seem irrational. And Martha's response signals to you and I that Martha must believe that Jesus does not understand the moment in which they exist. Maybe it's the heat of the sun that has caused Jesus to misperceive what's going on. Maybe Jesus is operating under the burden of his grief at the loss of his dear friend. Maybe the reason that Jesus arrives at the homegoing service, the funeral service, late is because he misunderstood the message that had been sent to him earlier. But what is clear that in Martha's mind, Jesus' words are problematic and irrational. They do not submit to Martha's reality. And quite frankly, the words puncture the cocoon of certainty that Martha is holding on to. And the question for you and I is, what do we do when this Jesus shows up in these uncertain moments? What do we do when this Jesus makes of us seemingly nonsensical commands in the midst of the weighty moments of uncertainty in life? When Jesus does not conform to our calls for comfort and does not exercise Jesus' divine power in ways we perceive we need most, what do we do when Jesus asks us to do things in the midst of already challenging moments that seem nonsensical? Well, many of us respond like Martha does. Maybe Jesus doesn't really understand the moment in which we live. Maybe Jesus does not really mean what Jesus has commanded of us because it just doesn't make sense. Sure, Jesus wants us to be polite and cordial, but he can't actually mean that we ought to love one another, particularly those in this day and time that we might violently disagree with. Sure, we should be charitable people, but Jesus doesn't mean to give in a way that causes us great discomfort and harm, or to give more than just our check, but also our time and our talent. Surely we're going to be burdened in this life. We all understand that. But Jesus doesn't really mean that we ought to rejoice when persecuted, or when people say all manner of evil against us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Surely we're allowed to fight back, to protect our reputation, to teach others not to mess with us. And even if we were to accept these commands of Jesus as guiding principles for our lives, certainly the rules can be suspended when we face uncertain times. In the midst of moments such as this, surely Martha's confusion can be understood and our reticence can be accepted. Martha hears the commands of Jesus, much like we do, and fails to immediately obey. And you and I find our cues in Martha when confronted, particularly in uncertain moments, with the same request of Jesus, rationalizing our resistance in ways that give us comfort. But I just want to offer to you, as I go to my seat, a couple of quick thoughts to keep in mind. Listen, the Jesus that we serve, the God to whom we place our trust in, often asks of us crazy things. God makes requests of us that doesn't make sense. And so if you're going to continue on this Christian journey and grow as a child of God, you ought to just get ready to be surprised by the unexpected.
to realize that God does not operate the way that we think God ought to operate, that God does not always do what we demand of him or God to do, that God does not, in God's infinite wisdom, just jump to our commands like a bellhop at a hotel, but rather God retains God's sovereignty. And we ought not make the mistake that Martha made in believing that God can only do what we think God should do. That God is consistent and resolute in God's refusal to submit or to conform simply through and to our wisdom. You've got to get ready for God to do the unexpected in your life and to recognize that your disagreement with God's instruction does not diminish God's power or change God's will. And I know you're good and rational people, and rationality is a healthy attribute of the human creature as long as we make room for God to surprise us and to do what we simply don't expect. Secondly, we ought to acknowledge and understand that in these uncertain moments, God is actually working to transform us. When the path before us is ambiguous, when we lack certitude of the outcomes and options and approaches to life, these are the moments of our life that God allows for us to be changed in spectacular ways. Many of you are wondering, in light of all that's going on around us, what's going to happen to your families, your church, your children, your community, or your own lives in 2022. But let me offer to you the possibility to consider this as a turning point, when the trajectories of our lives might be forever changed, and that God might perform in our lives something that is greater than our past, our rationality, or our wisdom, something unanticipated. That God is inviting us to consider what is possible not through our efforts alone, but through God. And if we only follow human wisdom, when we define and confine and constrain our lives to what we think or can observe, we ignore the fundamental principle that is repeated throughout Scripture. God is operating for God's glory, and it exceeds even our imagination. Finally, I would just offer this, my brothers and sisters, that God is a surprising and sometimes seemingly irrational being. But isn't the reality that for our journey in God, we have come, if you've had any experience with God, to celebrate even God's irrationality to us? The reality that God works in places that we would not expect God to work in. That God works through people that we do not expect God to work in. That God works in times when, even when we look around and cannot see good, God is nonetheless able to pull out of those moments the good for God's glory and God's children. That in fact, God often even operates under our pressure, under our pain, and even in our moments of isolation, that we serve a God that is always living above what we think is possible to do even the impossible. And my brothers and sisters, isn't this the core of your testimony? I know that many of you, like me, can think of times when God has done what I did not expect, and God has moved in ways that I could not anticipate. But I lift my voice in celebration of God, because God has done great things for our life. In fact, again, that is the testimony of our lives, that even when it didn't make sense, God reached out to save us. That's why the hymnist writes the song, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But even though I didn't have anything to give, even though it didn't make sense, the master of the sea still heard our despairing cry, and from the waters lifted us. Now saved are we." We serve a God that does not always make sense, but always does what is good for God's name and God's people. And we, my brothers and sisters, ought to just grow comfortable living under the grace of an irrational God. God bless you.